It's our number one download city.
What is?
Gillette, Wyoming.
I know that place.
It's a shithole. And Adelaide.
And what?
Adelaide, Australia.
Adelaide. Ah.
Well, hello, welcome back, Australia. Everybody. Welcome back, all our Gillette and Adelaide listeners.
Wherever you're listening, we love you, and we want you to
We love Gillette and Adelaide more, so fuck everyone else.
I mean,
we actually love you guys the most.
We do.
And I think Montreal was on that high list of places that listen to us, so thanks, Montreal.
Yeah.
All the good places.
All the
places that are just like each other. Gillette, Wyoming, Adelaide, Australia, and Montreal, Canada. All just, they're all basically,
I don't know
you put them right next to each
fan
other.
Base.
I know, it's so weird.
It's so
well,
random.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Scott.
I'm Steven.
And each week we play a game or every other week, something like that. And we tell you about the game.
We
do some shit some weeks and some shit some other weeks. And we tell you about the making of the game and we tell you what we thought of the game. So here we are. We hope you enjoyed our last week's Hot Takes episode. That was a lot of fun for us.
Yeah.
And we also hope you enjoyed the previous week's game, which was also a lot of fun for us.
Yes. Agreed. Agreed.
Agreed. And, you know, I honestly really do like Lost in Random. I just wish there was more for it.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like I just need to play the sequel because that's where it really hits and really slaps.
Yeah, I've actually been hearing more and more people talking about it. So there is a developing fan base for the new one. So
nice.
I'm excited to see it grow a little bit. But
one day we'll see if we'll do it for the podcast or not. But
yeah,
we'll decide that later. Today we are talking about
Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 and 4 Remake.
3 and 4. And an asterisk, guys, here, I'm going to give you a little warning. These games literally, I think, came out year after year after year after, like, it's literally
there's
like 99,
yeah,
then 2000, then 2001, then 2002. I think it was literally nonstop. They don't have a story for the making of 3 and 4 because they did not give a shit at that point. They're basically just copy and pasting from the first one, and that's all they did.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah,
so we're going to be talking about just the creation of Tony Hawk Pro Skater in general, not necessarily this game.
Yeah. So it's sorry. And like whenever someone does a remake game, they don't have a big, unless it's like a big remake, they do not have a big story usually. So
yeah,
even
I was going to say like the only one I could think
one.
Of that would have like a huge story would probably be like Resident Evil 2 Remake, just because of how drastically different that was from the base game.
See, and that's the thing. It has to be, or like even sequels don't usually have big stories unless it's something like Baldur's Gate 3.
Yes.
You know,
that's
like
kind of like its own thing almost.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But before all that, we're going to be talking about what are we playing? Steven, what are you playing?
Well, I've been playing a couple of different games. So
yeah, you've been playing shit is what you've been playing.
Yeah, I mean, I have. Well, one of the games I started playing is a new fun casual game that I've been getting into pretty heavily. It's 2 Point Hospital.
Nice.
They have a bunch of these games. There's 2 Point Campus. There's 2 Point Museum was the newest one that just came out. But it's running a hospital, but it's like a simulation-style game, like a SimCity-style game for
the
running a
simulation
hospital.
Within a simulation? Within another
it's
simulation?
Like, it's the most random, like, curing things. Like, animal magnetism, and like an animal will be stuck to them, and you have to separate the animal from them. Or someone has a light bulb head, and they're light-headed. So you have to bulb them. Or
sounds really dumb. So far, you have not sold me.
It's cheesy as hell. The story and the illnesses and everything are stupid, but actually the running of the hospital, like you have to manage what wage you pay everybody. You have to manage training your staff.
You get $1 a day. Good luck.
No. Well, and if you don't pay your staff enough, they'll just leave. They'll just walk off the job. They'll just say,
good luck finding someone else. They own everything in this town, asshole. $1 a day.
You have to mess with all the pricing of all the treatments and the diagnosis. You have to find hire and staff doctors and janitors and everything. And you have to build all these different rooms and keep researching medical research to keep building up your hospital, making it better. And it's actually got like a story mode that kind of teaches you progression of how to play the game. So like the first hospital you go to is just like the basics of the game. Second hospital, you're like, all right, we're going to add some more like treatment rooms. Third hospital is like, all right, we're going to teach you how to train. Fourth Hospital.
So you know, I feel like Zoo Tycoon started everything, or Roller Coaster Tycoon, whichever one came
first. One of those,
first.
Yeah.
Yeah, they started this whole simulation thing, which is just crazy that they're not the most popular one anymore. Because, like, all the simulations are basically just Roller Coaster Tycoon, right?
I mean, I've never played, honestly, Roller Coaster Tycoon or Zoo Tycoon.
It's so good.
I probably would. I actually bought them recently because I wanted to try them.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, you can get them on your phone, I think. I think Roller Coaster Tycoon's on the phone.
Oh, I bought it on the console. Anyways, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Like, there is just something about them that I just find fun, and I lose myself hours in this game, and I'm like, oh, shit, it's like 3 a.m. I should probably go to sleep.
Yeah,
like,
right. Yep. Just simulation games are like that.
Yeah,
you can. And what's nice about them too is you can just like throw something on the side, like put a TV show on, put a podcast going, like stuff like that. These are great games for that.
Like, I love putting on just like I love riff tracks. That's been a big thing for me lately. Mm-hmm. Just like shitty movies with three comedians just making jokes the entire time throughout it. A lot of times you don't really have to pay attention to them. If you do, it's kind of funny. But a lot of times, like, it's more about their verbal jokes off of the dialogue or what they're seeing. And it's so funny. It catches me off guard. So a lot of times I'll just put a random shitty movie on and just play the game and just lose myself for hours. And it's just so much fun.
You know what I want to do next?
What's that?
So I have a hot tub and I have a projector outside for the hot tub. I want to get like a, what is it called? A waterproof skin of sorts for a controller. So I can just be in the hot tub playing a game at night and just be like nice and relaxed the entire fucking time.
I was going to say, but you should do a like a Jaws showing inside of the in the hot tub. Watch Jaws like in the hot tub.
But it would be cool to play a game in there. It's just hard because, you know, water and digital shit does not.
I mean, if you're careful, you just don't put the controller in the water. Keep your hands dry.
Like, yeah, I know. That would be really hard to keep your hands way up here while you're fucking in the hot tub.
I know. So. You get so tired after a while.
Right.
Or you get really swole after a while.
Right. Like, swole. You're not doing anything. You're holding your arm. Maybe your shoulders will
feel. Holding your arm in a certain position for an hour. If you do that every day, you are going to build muscle.
Yeah, maybe in your shoulders, but you won't notice it. It won't be like noticeable.
You will if you do it long
enough. You'll notice
the
feeling of it. You won't notice the look of it.
But another game I've been playing a lot recently with my wife is a game we talked about in our most excited games coming out. The alpha release or beta release or whatever of Grounded 2.
I thought you were going to say Pornhub the game. Damn it.
No, not now.
Not yet.
We're not talking about that. Especially with all the credit card companies deciding that we shouldn't have access to adult games anymore. If they're too violent, too gory, too pornographic.
The credit card companies are deciding.
You haven't heard
now?
The stories?
No,
there's been
please,
stories.
Before we continue on Grounded 2, I'd love to hear this. I really want to know.
There's been a couple stories. Certain websites, and I've heard they're even trying to maybe go after Steam's library and stuff, but there was a group of people that got together trying to ban a lot of like adult video games or video games that are too graphic for everybody, not even just for kids, just for everybody. And they started leaning hard on Visa and MasterCard and putting pressure on them for allowing the sales. And so Visa and MasterCard
allowing
are
the
now
fucking people's, it's their fucking money.
Dude,
go fuck yourself.
I know it's the most ridiculous thing. So Visa and MasterCard have been pushing to some websites. I know like Ichi.io is one that everyone's talking about, that they got rid of a ton of games, and it wasn't just like the most obscure awful porn games ever. Some of them were just because they were too gory or whatever. And these credit cards companies are saying that you shouldn't have access to buying them, so they're pushing the stores to say, we're not going to allow you to have our payment software if you're going to have these games.
Do they understand what they're doing? They're opening up a huge hole where somebody can fill that and say, we'll let you have our payment software anywhere. Go fuck yourselves, parents.
Yeah, no, it's getting to be a slippery slope. Also, it's getting really dangerous for like freedom of speech kind of things.
Yeah.
Like it's really weird. I don't know how to feel about it. I mean, there are some games out there that I'm sure are the most horrible, horrendous things that probably are for only the most deprived people ever, and maybe you can make an argument that those shouldn't exist, but I mean
The crime rates have steadily gone down for like 100 years or something. So I don't understand why people think there's more crime today because of more violence. Like, it's not true.
Everyone thinks there's more because it's just so in your face. Because every time you open up your phone, you get screamed at about how awful the world is.
Yeah. Like, you don't notice all the good things that people do every day. Yeah. This is akin to, I know you probably don't remember this or don't know this, but back in the day during the 9/11 attacks. So 9/11 happens. And then for some reason, because of 9/11, Rage Against the Machine gets banned from all radio stations.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? So literally, this is just bullshit like that. It's like, we have something in column A and something in column B that has nothing to do with one another. But for some reason, we're going to mix those two fucking columns and say, go fuck yourself, Rage.
It's ridiculous.
It's so stupid, and that's just the culture. We're always like that. We did it with fucking music in the 80s when fucking Tippy Gore, for some reason, is judging musical lyrics and saying that they're bad. If they're bad, there should be a rating for them, which is bullshit because that's fucking horse shit. Who cares? It's fucking words. Stop getting your fucking feelings hurt because people use the word fuck. Asshole.
And thank you, D. Schneider, for fighting that fight for us.
Well, D. Schneider, I mean, a bunch of people did.
I know there's a bunch. That was just the main one that I heard about and the one that I found the most.
John Denver, I think, was up there too fucking doing that shit. And he's not a fucking dirty rapper or anything like that. He's just like, guys, it's fucking lyrics. Go fuck yourself. Get out of here. Stop trying to fucking limit everything. The world is chaos. It's like this all the fucking time.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's ridiculous. And it's like, if you don't want something, just don't go towards it. Like, we talked about how we weren't interested in the Mario Kart world. And there's a bunch of people who got mad at us and said a bunch of shit about us. And like, you shouldn't be able to judge the game without playing and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, hey, if we recognize but we just don't want to play it, we're just not going to play it. We're not going to play it and then shit on it. We're going to just not play it. Like, why do we need to experience shit and get angry at shit? And like, even movie experiences recently, I've been finding that just a lot of people just like go into a movie like you have to entertain me now. And if I'm not entertained, I'm going to be pissed off. And it's like, OK, but you went into a movie like being angry and upset and you have a bar that's so high. Like, I was really upset with like Fantastic Four because that movie was really, really good. And honestly, one of the best Marvel movies that came out in a long time. So many people were like, it's not better than Superman. And I'm like, no, it's not. You're right. Superman's a better movie. Superman is by far a better movie. It's not even close to me, but I would put Superman as like a 9 or a 10 out of 10. And I'd put Fantastic Four at like an 8.5.
I call it FF.
Yeah.
And I mean, guys, there's an easy way to not have your kids play these games or just to like, why don't you
instruct guide modes?
Yeah, well, and not just that. It's like, just talk to your fucking kids. Show them like, okay, well, this is unrealistic. Let me explain to you why. Let me give you all the, I know you probably won't listen, but this way you have this knowledge in the back of your head. You know, it's like, if you have an open conversation with your kids about shit, they won't repeat shit. Maybe they will, but likely they won't. So just stop being assholes. Stop fucking judging games.
I mean, it's kind of funny how many parents and stuff, like even my parents included, like back when Halo first came out, we couldn't stop shutting up about it, going over to friends' houses, playing it all the time. And then finally, I think the year after Halo had came out, my parents decided to get us an Xbox and surprise us with it and get Halo for it. And we were playing Halo in front of them. And my mom was like, this is extremely violent. I can't believe that I got this. And I'm like, you bought a mature rated game for violence and you're wondering why it's violent.
I love how fucking Halo was mature too. That's really funny.
Yeah, I know.
It's like Gears of War came out and you're like, oh my God, this is so much worse. And then since then, it's just gotten progressively more violent.
Yeah, I mean, depending on what game you're playing, like games like Trepang and stuff like that, where just blood squirting everywhere.
Dude, I just, you know, I watch anime and I'm watching Inuyasha again for the first time in years.
Oh, okay.
And God, I love that ending song. It's so good. But I watched a scene where he literally makes all these humans just bloody and dead. And I'm like, you know what's crazy? You don't see this usually in animes now. It's kind of like you'll see it in select ones, but not in every one like it used to be back in the day. It's really interesting how it's all like kind of gone down.
True.
And I just thought like, man, there's a lot of blood in this. This is actually pretty good for that reason.
Yeah, there's some games that you some animes and stuff that you watch, you're just like, oh, they went there. Oh, that's dark.
They went there.
That was a brutal death. Like JJK, Jujutsu Kaisen is one of the ones that gets really bloody. And I was like, oh
I love Jujutsu. That's a great one. Okay, it's finished now. Grounded 2. You like it?
Yes. Yeah. Grounded 2. Been really enjoying it. I played the beta of the first one when it first came out. And there were so many bugs and so many crashes and so many things that happened that I ended up not playing it for like a year until it like fully came out. And then
I did the same thing on the first one. Like there were shit tons of bugs when that game came out, but they fucking fixed it to hell.
I've had one game crash out.
Yeah.
And well, now, like now they have 8 hours of gameplay.
Yeah.
I've had
a
couple of
bugs. Now they have like
a
good script for it, right? They already have the source code so they can just improve upon the source code.
And dude, I gotta say, like the new combat stuff is really great. The bow feels so much better than it ever did.
Okay, because I hate the bow in the fucking original
game.
The
combat got harder because they added the mounts. So like all the bugs now can actually dodge and block.
Oh, nice.
And they have different attack sequences now. So they don't just have one basic attack thing that they do. And everything's got charged attacks now. And everything has different like crit things. And you can fully customize your builds a lot better in this one.
Nice.
And the Omni tool is so great. All of your tools, your shovel, your hammer, and your chopping, your axe.
It's massive fit.
It's not even an inventory slot. It's just you, whenever you want to use it, you use it and you can upgrade it. And there's five tiers of upgrades for each part of it.
Yeah.
So and
you don't
I'm
have
like,
to keep building a better version of the shovel or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. You just keep upgrading it and it's upgraded. You don't have to like have a level 2, a level 3, a level 1. You just have one that you upgrade to be able to hit everything.
All right. It's
really, really cool so far. And the mount system is so great. Honestly, we've been having so much fun. The only two mounts you can do at the beginning of the game, you only have access to about 20% of the map. And you only have access to two buggies. It's the ant buggy and the orb
spider
weaver
one?
Spider.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I assume they're going to add more later.
Yeah, they said they're going to add plenty of more later.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, the new bugs in this stuff, like scorpions are terrifying.
Nice.
We ran into a couple of those. We ran into cockroaches, caterpillars. Like, there's a bunch of new shit in this. It's really cool. Like, I've been really enjoying it.
All right. Well, I've just been continuously playing the Baldur's Gate 3. You know, I did my Ranger, and still I'm in Act 3 finally and having fun. This is like more fun than my first playthrough when I played a rogue. I kind of like having Asterion in the party.
Oh, I love Asterion in the party, dude.
Yeah, but
he's
I
so
missed
great.
Out because I switched him to a monk later on, which was nice. It was actually kind of cool to have him as a monk.
Okay.
And I kind of want to play a monk main now, too. But at the time, I was like, I was a rogue already, so I didn't want him in the party. So for like 90% of the game, I did not use him at all.
Okay.
So I kind of missed out on all his quirks and everything. He is annoying because if I'm playing a good playthrough and I'm like, I'll save you kids, he'll be like, why don't you just kill them already?
I know.
Come on, dude. Let me save these kids. Stop getting disapproval.
I love that voice actor, though. He's so funny.
And honestly, everyone was so, that game is just so funny.
That game is just incredible in every way, shape, or form. And
All right, well, let's jump right into the making of Tony Hawk Pro Skater, the original game, and a little bit of info on 3. I'm not sure if I put it in the script, but I will say things that I forgot to put in the script. So,
fair enough. All right, let's get
to
it.
Here we go. In 1998, Neversoft was dying. The studio had poured its soul into projects that never quite landed, and now it was barely breathing, held together by desperation and duct tape. Meanwhile, Activision, a publisher once founded by rebellious Atari developers, wasn't doing much better. They were living off past glory, hoping someone somewhere would strike gold again. Their Hail Mary, and this is like the best thing ever, okay? Their Hail Mary was a half-finished disaster called Apocalypse. Now, I just want you to guess, what do you think a game like Apocalypse would be about? You got the title, Apocalypse. What are we doing in Apocalypse,
something with
Steven?
A world ending, a battle or something.
Okay. But what's happening in there?
I mean,
who's
I would
the,
either
who's
guess
the star
that
of
was,
Apocalypse.
Is it not? It's not the character Apocalypse, I'm guessing.
No, not the character.
Okay.
Who would save the world from an apocalypse, Steven?
Tony Hawk. No.
what kind of character do you think?
I mean, just the best hero in the world, you know, one who would sacrifice anything and everything to save the world, that kind of hero.
Would you ever think that John McClane would save the world from apocalypse?
No.
well, this game, it was apparently a game that featured Bruce Willis's 80s action star as the main character.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah, oh, God.
It's just the funniest shit. I've never heard of this.
I've actually heard that there's a Die Hard game that's not too bad, actually.
Yeah, see, well, that's Die Hard. This game is not Die Hard.
I know.
It's called Apocalypse. It's a third-person shooter starring Bruce Willis who would follow you around while spouting action movie lines and blowing up bad guys. The idea was bold. The execution, not so much.
Okay.
So Activision handed over the rubble of Apocalypse to Neversoft, a last-ditch effort for both. Because the game, literally, they could not get it fucking right. So they're working on this game. They can't bring it together. Their programmers are having trouble just like programming the game in general. They don't have anything. Like, it's just, it looks like shit. It feels like shit. They know they're not going to make any money if they release it. So they gave it to a different publisher or a developer. Just like, I think we had that with a couple games, actually. There's been a couple games that have like, changed developers midway through because the originals just could not do it right. And then someone else came in and said, I can breathe new life into this. So it happens quite often, apparently.
Neversoft usually doesn't handle well.
Neversoft dove in and reconstructed Apocalypse using old half-finished assets. Chaos ensued, but it sort of worked. And somewhere in all that, someone wondered, what if Bruce Willis wasn't holding a gun? What if he was on a skateboard?
That's exactly what I wonder when I think of Bruce Willis in action movies is like, why wasn't he skateboarding? I mean, this 50-year-old badass needs to be on a skateboard. That's exactly what I need.
Before Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, there was John McClane's Pro Skater.
No shit. No, God,
across the street from Neversoft was a bowling alley housing the arcade game, which apparently there were a bunch of skaters before Tony Hawk. I didn't know that, but they're not like a driving force that started this whole skater thing, but there are a lot of games.
I know there's other like BMX games and other style of like extreme sports and stuff before this, but
yeah, they played an arcade game called Top Skater. The development team was obsessed, spending lunch hours playing it and dreaming of something better. Unplanned, they drifted away from Apocalypse forward towards something entirely new. Good. Then David Stoll, a Neversoft dev, introduced a producer connected to Tony Hawk. Hawk had been in talks with Rockstar Games about a skateboarding title. So Rockstar was originally going to make Tony Hawk. Because they just came out. It's like right after Grand Theft Auto 1 came out.
Okay.
And they had a lot of success with Grand Theft Auto 1, apparently. Which I don't know how it looks like complete garbage when I've seen videos of it. Maybe it's
great.
I mean,
back then it wasn't complete garbage, though.
I guess. Well, even like other games looked better than it. I guess I was a little confused to how it did so well.
Yeah.
Because it was like a top-down look. It wasn't like the...
No, I know. I think the first two were top-down ones.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know how the hell they went to that, the fucking 3 in San Andreas, and fucking killed it.
Dude, I don't know how some of these games... Like, some of those games like that where you're like, wait, that's where the franchise started? Like, how did we get to 5? What the fuck?
Okay. Neversoft sprang into action. They flew Tony in, dressed in suits, and delivered a boardroom pitch. No pre-recorded trailer, just a hacked PlayStation with a Game Shark and a rough playable demo featuring Bruce Willis skating. So one of the things they talk about in this is they had Tony Hawk come in. Tony Hawk is in like his skater gear because he doesn't fucking change his clothes. He doesn't wear suits. He goes into the meeting and he's like, and he talks about this because I read an entire interview with the whole team making it and he's a part of the team. And he's like, I jump into it. I walk in, they're all in nice suits. They look like professional businessmen. I'm immediately bored. I sit down, they start showing me like charts and figures. They have an entire 2-hour presentation made by PowerPoint showing me like how much money they can make, what do they think they can do, because they thought that I was going to go with Rockstar, and Rockstar at that time had a lot of money.
True.
And so, and then they're like, they could tell that he wasn't interested. So they're like, okay, hold on. We're going to give you the game. And to make this game, I don't know if I mentioned it in here or if I mentioned it in full. They literally were doing dev testing on a PlayStation, right?
Yeah.
Just a retail PlayStation, not a special one. And they had a hacked Game Shark.
Yes.
That they were using as development tools. So they were not developing with professional tools. They literally had a hacked Game Shark on a PlayStation And then Tony Hawk goes in and starts playing as Bruce Willis on a skateboard. And he's like, you know what? The game looked sloppy. It looked terrible, but the moves were fucking cool.
Nice.
So, and that's what sold him on it, which I thought was really cool.
I mean, fair.
Yeah. So yeah, just a hacked PlayStation with a Game Shark and a rough playable demo featuring Bruce Willis skating. Tony played it himself. The animations were rough. The skater felt odd. But the feel, the flow, the air, the rush, it clicked. He couldn't explain why. He just knew. This was fun. And that was enough. He signed. Tony Hawk's influence went far beyond the box art. He shaped the tricks, the skater roster, even the culture around it, insisting on real skaters like Kareem Campbell and Alyssa Steamer. He wanted authenticity, diversity, and a soundtrack that resonated more with resonated more than sold. The team embraced punk mixtapes, Napster rips, and zines over pop radio playlists. And Tony Hawk talks about this. There wasn't a lot of diversity in pro skating, I guess. Like,
not a lot.
I mentioned Kareem Campbell and Alyssa Steamer. Those were the one black player in the first game and one woman in the first game.
Yep.
And he said, like, and like, I wasn't trying to be racist, but literally that was the culture. And I went to the point that Pharrell Williams came up to him one day and said, you know, in my hood, skating was considered a white boy sport until this game came out. We see Kareem Campbell playing and we're like, oh shit, we're allowed to do that too.
Yeah. So, no, honestly, like this game highlighted skateboarding for so many people and it made it really such a more popular sport. Like this was this and the X Games simultaneously, especially at the same time, because they kind of like promoted each other. And Tony Hawk made sure like every X Games skater was in the game, basically all the big ones, Bob Burnquist, Chad Muska, all the best street people. And that continued to go on. And like even into this remake, we got new skaters that are professional skaters. There's one I'm going to be bringing up later who's actually a pro Filipino female skateboarder that got added to the game, and she's fucking amazing, dude. She's phenomenal.
Neversoft's office was chaos incarnate. Dogs peeing on walls. Three people crammed into rooms meant for one. Nerf wars in the hallways. Level layouts hand-drawn from whiteboard sessions long after meetings ended. So literally, they talk about this too. This one guy's like, this. The main guy, the owner of the studio, would bring his dog in. The dog would piss on all of the walls. The owner didn't care. Just like, he would just shit on the floor. It would be fine. They were literally, he described it as a frat house.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Because they were like bringing women in, having sex with them and stuff too. Like it was insane. Listening to this whole story, I'm like, it does sound like a fucking college dorm room.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
oh
my, sounds awful. Yeah,
it does sound kind of dead. But then they were talking about the whiteboard. They would draw level designs on the whiteboard, and they don't have any cameras. Then the guy's like, specifically, we didn't have camera phones, and we didn't bring any fucking cameras to work. So some other guy would have to draw it all on paper for later reference so we could reuse the whiteboard to draw another fucking level. Just like,
that's
ridiculous. It was just so funny. Yeah.
Okay, crazy.
There were no dev kits. Most builds ran on hacked game charts connected to retail PlayStations. One producer wheeled a TV into a skate park at night, asking kids to test the game in parking lots. Flyers were slapped in high schools. Word spread. And he talked about this too. He's like, I thought I was going to get in trouble because I was literally going sneaking in the high schools at night, putting a bunch of flyers for game testers for specifically like punk kids. Then wheeling, going to the skate park, finding a bunch of 14-year-olds as I'm there as like a 30-year-old man and saying, hey, you want to play a game? Just how creepy that sounds.
Yeah, that's
weird. And it was actually good. And he said he trashed the TV that he brought. He just would leave it at the skate park and throw it in the fucking thing. Like, it's just so funny. Before the 1999 launch, beta discs circulated among Tony Hawk's friends. Nobody called it Tony Hawk's Pro Skater yet. They all called it The Game. Have you played The Game? Became the litmus test. Activision even offered Tony a lump sum up front instead of royalties. He turned it down. So, and Tony Hawk talks about this too. He's like, yeah, so the problem is you never know what's going to hit, right?
Yes.
Like, so Tony Hawk gets this offer. He's like, hey, we're, and then fucking Activision knew what they were doing. You could tell that they were trying to rip him off. They give him a lump sum offer, and he's like, I'm not a business dude, but I have plenty of money right now. I don't need the lump sum offer. So I'm just going to say no, and I'm going to take the royalties, and we'll see how this goes in the future.
Yeah.
And They talk about his 900 too. Again, I'm not sure if I put it in here, but so they were going to release the game And their original thought was, we'll stop at 720. That's it. That's we're doing.
Hell no.
Yeah. So they stop at 720. And then, like, within a week of the game coming out, Tony Hawk's at the X Games.
Lands a 900.
Attempts 18 different attempts on the 900 and finally gets one. They're like, God damn it. They're so pissed because now they have to put the 900 in the game. It was so fucking funny.
And they just made it a special move.
Yeah, it was just so fucking funny. Sales began slow. The game debuted at number 31 in 1999 behind titles like what, Steven? What sold better than Tony Hawk when it came out?
1999. Do I get a genre or anything?
It's two very different games. One's like a 3D platformer. One's a game show game.
So Spyro. And you said a game show game?
Game show game.
Ooh, Spyro and like Wheel of Fortune.
So you got it. Wheel of Fortune, but and the other one was A Bug's Life.
Oh, dang. Okay. Tony I like the Bug's Life games.
But Tony Hawk was outsold by those two games.
I actually had both of those games, actually. The Wheel of Fortune one.
But became the second highest selling release of the year over time. It needed 250,000 copies to break even. Eventually, it sold over 5 million.
Dang. Yeah, that's
really sold 350,000 copies the first like year or something. So, and then over time it sold 5 million, but none of the other games sold 5 million. I don't think Bug's Life sold 5 million.
Oh, I doubt that. Yeah, no.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 launched in 2001, introducing online play on the PS2. Pro Skater 4 followed in October 2002, embracing open world level structure and campaign modes. Years later, after a lull in remakes, fans cheered when Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 was redone in 2020. There was plans for a full remake of Pro Skater 3 and 4, but early development stalled when Vicarious Visions was merged into Blizzard. Then, in July 2025, the story came full circle. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4, a combined remake of the original 2001 and 2002 classics, released on PlayStation 4 and 5, Xbox One, Series X and S, Nintendo Switch 2, or 1 and 2, I think, and PC. Deluxe Collector Editions owners got early access starting July 8th, but full launch was the new version was developed by Iron Galaxy.
Yes.
And supported Xbox Game Pass Day 1. Reviews praised its crisp controls, modern visuals, online multiplayer, and faithful reproduction of classic levels, plus new parks, extra skaters, including Riley Hawk and the Doomslayer, and even Michelangelo, and extra content. And what's funny is they talk about Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3. The only thing that I'm going to say about it in the development, because this is the only thing that fucking mattered with the development of it, in the airport level, originally, you were stopping terrorists from bombing planes.
Oh, and now you just have to give your friend the ticket or whatever? Is that what?
Now you're stopping the
pickpockets
from stealing tickets. Ah. And they did that because what happened in 2001, Stephen?
Yeah, we don't need to go over that. We'll never forget it.
And they're like, well, again, that was like a week before the release, and they're like, fuck, why does this keep happening to us?
Such a bummer.
Yeah.
Like any of those.
I mean, it's a
things,
bummer. And it makes more sense that people are trying to bomb the airport versus that they're stealing. I have never seen anyone steal a plane ticket, but that was the only thing they could. They were like, we need a real fucking quick fix on this because they are not going to be happy.
Take out several different things like that. Like there's a peeing man on the ask man level that they took out of the game. They took out a few different small things that were just kind of like just weird. They weren't necessarily like a problem or anything bad. I mean, obviously the terrorist one is a one I totally understand them changing. But some of the other ones I was just like, it didn't really remove anything from the game, but it didn't really, I was also like, you didn't really need to take it away either.
Yeah. But looking back, it all feels impossibly surreal. A skate game born because Bruce Willis and a broken shooter. A studio that nearly died. A game shark, a bowling alley arcade, a chaotic office with dogs and Nerf wars. Yet out of all of that came something timeless. A movement.
Crazy.
Yep.
All right. Well, that was the story of how the development came.
I love, like, that was such a cool story to fucking
it really
read
is.
About. Those guys just that sound like such a fun time.
Let's go ahead and get into the best and the worst of the game, though. So as Scott was kind of saying, critics already said it. But the combo system and the movement system in this game is so smooth. It is the smoothest it's ever been. The transitions of everything are seamless. It is ridiculous. Like, I gotta say, the gameplay of it, it is pure flow heaven. It is it's gorgeous.
I thought it was great. Honestly, the game plays really well, but you know, my only thing about it is it plays like every other Tony Hawk game plays. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like with losing the fact that 4 had an open world, you lost a lot with like variability with the game.
Don't agree with that take on it, just because like there is ways to still do it like open world. There's ways to make it longer sessions. There's ways to have like the free range mode. I mean, it doesn't have the kind of like NPCs you talk to or whatever.
That's
the only thing they took out of it.
Yeah, the only thing is, like I said, it just feels like every Tony Hawk game.
Oh yeah, I mean, now, they
of course,
all
these
feel
all
like
released
that,
year after year, so it just makes sense that they didn't improve that much on them. So I'm not too butthurt about it, but I kind of got bored because I'm like, oh my god, am I doing the same thing? I'm getting a high score. I'm finding the skate again. Like, it's still fun. The levels are unique, and it was great. Yeah. I will say one of the worst things about this game is the fucking sound. I don't know what the fuck they did to this sound, but on my computer, I have my Bluetooth headphones. They work fine with every game I've ever played. This game, they're incredibly loud. And I'm like, why are these so fucking loud? And it's because it separates the Tony Hawk from the sound component on your computer. So when you turn down your sound component as a main sound, it's not on the main sound. It makes its own sound fucking bar.
Okay. And so I'm you gotta like, turn it on in the game, turn it down in the game.
In the game and on its set. So it makes a sound bar on your computer. It makes a separate sound bar outside of your main channel sound, which is really
fucking
annoying.
I played this on Xbox
because
it was on Game Pass.
Yeah.
I never
you don't
had
have to worry about
sound issues.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to worry about it on there. The computer version, unfortunately, does not feel as good sound wise. And it was loud and then it was too soft. The grunts were like insane. Like, literally, the music is playing. It's not blasting. It sounds good. And then someone will go, like, it'll be the loudest fucking thing in the world. I'm like, Jesus Christ, why does it sound so shitty? And I'm guessing it's just the computer plugin.
I think so. That sounds
yeah, the way they separated the sounds for the computer was just not good. I'm not sure if anyone else thinks that, but mine sound like complete garbage.
Yeah, let us know if you had any sound issues if you played this on PC as well.
Yeah.
I do like the massive roster. I do like the unlockables are pretty good for it. As Scott was saying, there's Doom Slayer, which was a paid unlockable. Then Michelangelo from TMNT, which I didn't like his design very much. It was kind of based on like the newer kind of designs for the character. It kind of fits in the Tony Hawk world a little bit, but it's kind of just felt weird to me a little bit.
Yeah.
We have Constable Richard instead of Officer Dick, still played by Jack Black. It's like a cousin of him. You could unlock Bam Margera, which they did actually... ended up keeping Bam Margera in the game, which was like kind of a shock to everyone. Everyone was wondering if Bam Margera was going to be in there because like they removed him from Jackass and a bunch of other things. So they were wondering if they're
going
to remove
Why
him.
Why does he have some shit going on?
Bam's always had shit going on. I don't know exactly like what the stories were of it, but I know like when the new Jackass Forever came out, there was a whole big thing about Bam not being included and he threw a huge hissy fit about it. And a lot of it was because of his drug issues.
Okay.
They brought him in the game and a lot of people are loving that. I think you have to find all the graffiti tags in the game to find unlock Bam. And then there's the best unlock that everyone says is the best unlock is the Birdman. It's a special thing based off of Tony Hawk's parent company, Birdhouse, that he owns.
Yeah, it'd be better if it was Bird Person.
No, that'd be a different person. I would like Bird Person, though. That would be hilarious as a character.
That'd be so funny.
So fun.
I am about to perform a trick.
Customization for the skater has a ton of variety and
like a lot too much.
It's kind of crazy, actually. Yeah, it almost did feel a little overwhelming. As Scott was said too, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4 Free Roam Career Style was simplified in the 2-minute run style. You can do exploration missions like if you opt into a classic mode. So it kind of, but a lot of purists will feel burned out and will feel like they're missing something and will feel like a lot was taken away. I never played 4. It didn't bother me at all.
I didn't either. I just thought like
3 fan.
Yeah. 3 and 4 just felt exactly the same to me when playing them. That's the only reason I said it. Cause I'm like, it does feel like nothing has changed. It's like I'm playing 3 extended.
The other thing I really wanted to point out is that a lot of the original, or not a lot, but there is a quite a few number of original songs on the soundtrack that are missing due to licensing.
Yeah.
And they replaced it with music that is for like modern skaters, which I didn't vibe with as much.
Yeah,
like, the music
I
was
did
fine.
Not like, it was not.
But I never paid attention to the music. Like when I played the old school Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2, I am jamming that shit as loud as I can. I am blasting that shit. I am dancing. I'm headbanging. I'm like, this is music. This is everything. Like that just fit the Tony Hawk vibe. And I don't know if it's just a product of the time and where I was at the time. And that that soundtrack is one of the greatest video game soundtracks of all time. But
yeah, I'm sure there's people who love this one too. I mean, it's fine.
Oh yeah. Like I didn't say, not like amazing. I said, there's nothing like wrong with it. The music was just fine, but it was just fine to me. It wasn't like a soundtrack that I'm like, I'm going to go out and buy it. Like I actually owned the Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 soundtrack.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, besides that, there's really not a ton else about the game that I can say.
That feels like every Tony Hawk game to me. It was smooth. The transitions were good. Music was shit on the computer. But like other than that, it was fine. There's nothing too crazy going on in that game.
Let's get into the first few hours of the game then. What do you think? Does it pass the test of your first few hours?
I think it does. Honestly, I did have a lot of fun the first few hours. The first few levels are just kind of fun with Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3.
They always are, yeah.
4, they weren't as fun, but I think I'd already burned myself out on playing all the levels of 3. So I'm like, maybe I should have put
the
these
thing.
Like, yeah, it's like, maybe I should have separated these two games really. And played a lot of 3, took a 2-week break, and then played a lot of 4. And that probably would have maybe felt a little
That's
different.
That's kind
of
actually what I did. I tried beating all of 3 and getting all the goals of 3. And then I went to 4. And that felt more natural and more like a flow. But you can just keep going. You can like do 4 missions, unlock the next park. 4 missions, unlock the next park. Yeah. Or whatever it is.
Yeah. But, so, and like for the most part, this does pass the test. It was a lot of fun playing 3. I really enjoyed it. 4 again, just not as good, but I think that's more based on the amount of time I put into 3. So,
I mean, fair. All right, let's go ahead and get into Steve Achieves then. We're talking about some of the achievements in the game. I didn't get like a how long it takes you because it's very relative based on your skill level with the game.
Yeah.
A lot of these achievements are very skill based achievements, so it's hard to tell you how long it's going to take. Some people it's going to take fucking 10 hours. Other people it's probably going to take like 40, 50 hours to get that good. And some people have been playing Tony Hawk nonstop since 99. So you're not going to
compete with literally
them.
In 2 seconds. They get a million points within starting the level within like 10 seconds. So they're good.
One of the achievements that took me a while to get, speaking of the 900, was 900-ing the 900. You have to do a 900 rotation while also doing the special trick, the 900. So you have to, it's so brutal. The best place to do this was on the level you unlock the pinball level. There's a couple boosts and then there's a giant ramp that has a boost right in front of it. And if you hit that at a good enough of an angle, you can actually do a 900 doing the 900. Yeah. It's like the one spot besides doing a custom map that you can actually hit this unless you turn off gravity.
Okay.
So yeah, that one was definitely hard. Another achievement, that was a nice one. Complete a speed run of all park goals without bailing. I did this on the first level. I think the first level of the warehouse in Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 is the easiest one to do this on. But even that, hitting every single one of the 10 goals without falling once can be a challenge.
I mean, I would not be able to do it because I'm not very good at Tony Hawk Pro Skater, so...
One of my favorite achievements that I saw was there's a funny reference achievement for it's called You Look Like Tony Hawk. If you've ever heard the meme, Tony Hawk gets misidentified so much because he just walks around like a normal dude. So many people think he just looks like Tony Hawk. No one actually thinks he's Tony Hawk. So there is even a post by this famous skater, and forgive me if I mispronounce her name, Margellin Didel, and she actually tagged him and said this guy asked me for a picture and I let him because he looks like Tony Hawk, and it was just a complete joke based off of the meme, because Tony on his Twitter and X account even tweets all the time of like, this guy just said I looked like Tony Hawk and didn't even realize I was him and blah 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 blah.
Poor
like,
Tony.
Actually, I pulled up a couple of
I mean
these
he's funny. Just he's like a 60-year-old man, right?
I think
he's maybe 50s or 60s, but he's just old now, so it's hard to tell.
I found two of my favorite stories of some of his old tweets, so I'm going to read those. So one of them was, at Tilly's with my daughter, waiting for her by the dressing room, mask on, and a guy folding clothes nearby was like, anyone ever tell you you look like Tony Hawk? I look over at him expecting sarcasm, but realizing he's completely serious. You have no idea. He's like, that's cool. He's really cool. And I said, thanks. And he goes, huh? Or my favorite one was, he tweeted this one out. It said, this just happened and maybe this is where it all ends. I got in an elevator with three people. One guy with his wife sarcastically says, anyone ever tell you? And then stops. Me amused, I said, yes, but you're the first one today. And then his wife said, I'm sorry, I tried to stop him from doing the joke. And then the couple exits the elevator, and the other guy that was in the elevator was like, wait, what's the joke? I don't get it. And he's like, I get mistaken identity a lot. And he's like, mistaken for who? And he's like, Tony Hawk. And he goes, haha, you do actually look like him. And then the elevator opens up, he exits, and he's sitting there just like, what the fuck?
That's so funny.
Poor Tony. I love that they made that an achievement in the game, and you get the achievement for taking a picture in Photomoke as Tony Hawk.
Okay, nice.
So it's just so fucking funny.
You look like Tony Hawk.
Another one that I thought was fun just because of the name was an achievement called Final Form for collecting all the stat points. Great Dragon Ball Z reference.
My final form.
Unprecedented is another achievement. Without any assist mods, score 10 million points in any park in a 2-minute session or a single combo. I fuck that achievement. That's going to take me a while. I haven't yet, dude. I'm good at the game. I can get
100 million points. So
I can do combos getting over 100,000. I think my highest combo is probably like 330,000 or something. Yeah. Like, I'm decent, but I'm not like millions worthy. Like, actually, that's one of the bugs I heard about that was the most multiplayer online was if people scored too high, it would bug them out. Like, there's people that were, because you do a 2-minute session on the online for like best score or like highest score, highest combo. And some people would do a combo that lasted the entire 2 minutes and then another 3 or 4 minutes afterwards, because if you're still in the middle of a combo, it'll keep let you going. And then it would burst past the game so much that it would actually just end your combo and you wouldn't score any points. And a lot of people were getting really pissed, like, oh, come on, I didn't score 100 billion points. And I'm like,
stop at the fucking 2-minute mark, asshole.
Yeah, like, you shouldn't be allowed to go past the 2-minute mark. You have to land at the two minute mark.
Max 1 minute over. How about that? Yes. And then we call
like,
it good.
It's so ridiculous. And well, and especially if you're like in that lobby waiting for people to end and you actually just landed at the 2-minute mark, you're like, fuck, I have to stay for like 4 more minutes while they're telling the score still.
Yep.
So it's a little annoying, but. Yeah, all right, let's go ahead and get into the hunt for all the eggs, though. I'm really excited for this one. I'm
sure there's a shit ton.
There's a fuck ton. And there's a lot of really awesome ones in this one that I was really surprised by. Most everyone's favorite one is in the level Skater's Island. It's in Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3. It's one of the first competition levels, or second competition level, I think. It's where you can go outside and there's a pirate ship. If you grind the bow of the ship, at the front of the ship, and you can actually see an inner tube that has Bikini Bottom on it.
Oh, nice.
And if you jump off of the bow and you make it close enough to the inner tube, you get transported to Bikini Bottom, and you can see SpongeBob's house, Squidward's house, Sally's house. You can see the Krusty Krab. There's a box of Krusty Krab burger on the ground. There's like stuff everywhere. It's not a big section, but it's a fun little tiny like section with a couple of vert ramps and a couple other things that is just in Bikini Bottom, and it's such a fun unique reference. There's also another one Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the movie studio level. Behind a ramp near the start of the competition, there's a moving glowing green manhole cover. The cover kind of like shifts and wobbles, and it's kind of glowing green underneath it. Right next to it, there's an open pizza box. And next to that, there's usually a rat carrying a slice of pizza running around. And if you drop down into the sewer, if you like go drive over the manhole cover, you'll drop down into a completely Ninja Turtles themed sewer mini park with like vert ramps and stuff like that, with a ton of homages to the turtles itself, including paintings of all the Renaissance painters, like the actual Renaissance painters. So Leonardo.
That's cool. Yeah.
And then they have like graffiti tags of all their names, like Mikey graffiti tags the entire shop there, and there's like a whole place there, and there's like graffiti of a rat on a wall for Splinter and all this other stuff. So it's really cool, honestly.
Okay.
And just asterisks here, guys, just so you know, I know you're going to be pissed because he said Sally instead of Sandy. It is Sandy Cheeks, not Sally.
Yes, I have only seen like two episodes of SpongeBob ever, and I was never allowed to watch it when I was a kid, so don't fault me at it. I'm sorry. Yes. I don't know SpongeBob.
I can already hear if we had a bunch of people listening, be like, you fucking idiot, Sandy.
So yes, 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 know. Yes. I got the rest of the things right.
I heard it right away and said, that doesn't sound right.
That's fair. There's also a movie poster in this. There's a couple of different fun ones, but the one that I thought was the funniest was there was a movie poster. I think it was on the university level. The title was Prey Stalker, Bird in the House. And it looked like it's Prey Skater. Prey Skater, Prey Bird Stalker. In the House. Based on his company Birdhouse, but it also it had a bird of prey skateboarding. Yeah.
Right.
One of the other things in this is really cool. There's a board in the game, and the board's called Nobody Calls Me Chicken. And it's modeled after the hoverboard from Back to the Future.
Oh, that's cool.
And you can actually even get a red puffer jacket as a item, so you can actually kind of go around as Marty McFly. It's really fun.
Sweet. Is there another one that shows like the weird scooter that he breaks in order to make the skateboard?
No, that would be funny. Lame.
That would be pretty funny.
They're not going to put a scooter in a skateboarding game. That's blasphemy, dude. Don't even talk about skateboard.
But like, you look like scooters. A scooter. You find a scooter and you break the fucking top half off and you make a skate. That would be fucking sweet.
It would be funny. But in the suburbia level, you can actually find two different TVs that are playing the movie Night of the Living Dead. It's actually just because the movie is in public domain.
I was going to say it's in public domain now.
It's been in public domain. There was a problem. There's a reason why that movie is shown in every movie and every TV show and every video game ever. It's because when they made the movie, they didn't copyright it correctly. So it's always been in public domain.
I think we talked about that in the Typing of the Dead. I can't remember if we did or not, but I do remember.
I think we did actually during that one. Yeah. The house in that the haunted house that you can go into, it's actually modeled and looks exactly like the Bates house from Psycho.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
I didn't think to focus on the house too much, I guess.
I didn't either, but when someone showed me a side-by-side picture of them, I was like, yeah. That's crazy, actually. That's really close.
So accurate.
Speaking of Neversoft, Scott was talking about the being the original company. They did have a few homages to Neversoft in the game. There was a couple eyeballs hidden in graffiti. And then the best one was in the pinball map. After lowering all the tombstones, the Neversoft eye appears in the middle of the table.
Oh, that's cool.
It's so cool. It's so
Did Neversoft close? I didn't even think to look
know,
it up. I'm guessing
like,
they did.
They didn't make any other opener.
Yeah, Neversoft's but they didn't logo? Make any other games, right? They only made Tony Hawk games.
I can't remember, or honestly, I would have to look it up, but...
I feel like there was one shooter they maybe tried, because I do remember that, like, the opening eye thing on a shooter, but I can't remember which game it was.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's somewhere, though. We'll figure it out later.
But yeah, that's what I got for all the Easter eggs. Obviously, there's probably a lot more. I'm not
probably
scratching the surface
of
it, but...
Name all
those
million.
Are some of the really big ones, some of the ones that are a little bit hard to find, but you will find them, or you'll hear people talk about, like... I heard people talking about the SpongeBob one and saw the SpongeBob one for a long time. And then I was like, I finally just like looked it up. I was like, where is this? How do you get to it? Like, I have not found it anywhere. It's just because it's in the most random ass place. You have to grind a certain rail and land and jump in a certain spot and hit a certain inner tube for you to get transported there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, jumping to our numbers.
Ratings, yeah.
Our numbers.
What do you think of this?
So this one's hard because I like the game, but to me it sat perfectly average.
Yes.
I'm going to give it a 3.
And same.
Like it might be weird to say this, but again, I already said it. Like it feels like every Tony Hawk game. It does. There's nothing unique. There's nothing special. And sometimes that's fine. Like it feels like it worked for what it was, but I did get bored after about 2 hours of playing the game. So
yeah. Well, and the other thing is, too, is, like, they did actually add, like, more combat with, like, the after you complete all the goals, there's pro goals. Yeah, and then there's solo tours.
I think there were
pro goals
in the original games as well, if I remember.
I think there was, yeah, because they had the combo goals and stuff like that too. Yeah. But then I think the solo tours might be a unique thing.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you, but...
But because I didn't even unlock any of that. But like, there's so much to do in this. There's so much here. There's a lot of game. There's a lot of things, if you're a huge fan, that you'll absolutely love. I'm with Scott, though. For me, this is a very average game. It's a fun game to get into. It's a fun game to just kill a couple hours. But it's not a game that I'm going to like lose 20, 30 hours in. It's a game that I'll probably pick up for like an hour every once in a while. But
now,
it's not.
This was Tony Hawk Underground. Holy shit, I would lose my entire life in it.
Tony Hawk, actually, in an interview recently, was asked about, is Tony Hawk Underground getting remade? Because that would be the next game in order.
Best.
Tony Hawk had this to say. He said, chronologically, it makes the most sense that if we were going to do another remake, that would be the next one we would make.
I really hope, and I hope they don't fuck it.
Yeah.
No, like, if they turn that into a two-minute fucking run thing, I will never play it. Yeah, I will be done with Tony Hawk open world.
That was so much fun to do that fucking with the missions and everything.
Like
that's where they did a lot of success, I think, versus 4.
Yeah. Well, honestly, because I feel like 3 had a decent fan base and 4 kind of lowered its fan base quite a bit. And not a lot of people, like everyone I knew, no one played 4. None of my friends ever played 4, really. I had like maybe one or two that played 4. Whereas like all of us played 2, all of us played 1, a few of us played 3, but like no one I knew played 4, but then everyone played Underground and Underground 2.
I loved Underground, man. That was my favorite.
And then American Wasteland was even like started to have a little bit of a decline and it wasn't as popular.
That was the one where they bragged about no loading screens, I think, if I remember right.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they tried the Shred and Rip or whatever those two were that had the actual skateboard that you had to use the motion controls in-house, which I bought because I thought every one of those gimmicks were the coolest things ever.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like so hard because I was not
a DJ Hero buying the DJ.
Dude, I love DJ Hero. I used to play the fuck out of that game.
Such a loser. Such a dumb game.
Dude, I love DJ Hero.
That
was
like buying
the
guitar for Guitar Hero too, right? It's kind of stupid. You don't even need it to play because you could do it on a controller, but
I did
that
too.
It makes more sense to have it. Yeah. So by the way, I just looked up Neversoft. They made a lot of fucking games.
I was going to say,
they made a Spider-Man game in 2000. I think is that the movie one?
I think that might be
not.
The movie.
No, it's the PlayStation one. I played that game actually. That one's
good.
Okay. They made Gun. That's the game I was thinking of.
Oh,
they
yes.
made fucking Gun. Okay. So yes, I do remember their little logo and Gun. And then they also made, oh my God, I just can't believe they fucked it so bad. They made Guitar Hero 3.
Oh, dang.
So they made Guitar Hero 3 through 5.
Dang. And Guitar Hero 3 was probably the best one. 4 was really good too. 5 sucks.
World Tour, I think, is technically 4. 5 I never played. But they made also Aerosmith and Metallica and Band Hero and like all that.
Metallica Guitar Hero was good.
The last game they made was Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock. So they really like focused in on Guitar Hero Tony Hawk. That's it.
They were doing a lot of the weird ones, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, but all right, well, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the history of Tony Hawk. That is the review of Tony Hawk. That is the red shirts of Soul of a Gamer, because we're both wearing red shirts. This is a theme. We did this on purpose.
Yeah, we totally did. Totally.
We did. Yeah. I didn't just go into my dryer and say, what shirt smells clean today? This was planned.
Like
that, dude. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next week's episode. Keep us updated on everything. Send us some emails. Reply to some comments on TikTok, on Instagram, and all the shit. You know, we're on everything.
And next week, we are going over favorite consoles and bizarre games.
Yeah. All right, guys.
See you then.
Bye.
Love you.
Shut the fuck up, Steven.